I pray that that is the desire of each of us here this morning. The message that the Lord has laid on my heart will give us instruction on how we can do exactly that. Live for Jesus. To fully surrender ourselves to His will that we might be pleasing to Him. This should be one of the greatest desires of all believers, of all Christians, all followers of Jesus Christ. And that is that we are to be a light that shines in this very dark world. In stark contrast between the world and its ways and its attitude and its thinking, the Christian is to stand in contrast to that as those that are examples of knowing and doing the will of God and those that benefit from the blessings that are found only in knowing and doing the will of God. I want my life to be an example to others. Do you want your life to be an example? Be careful when you say that. Because it does come at sacrifice. It does come at a cost. Your life is not your own. So if you're saying you want to be an example, you're saying what the song said, what the scripture says, I surrender my life to you, my will to you. I want others to see the power of the reality of the gospel, the message that I preach and that is so dear to my heart. I want others to see the reality that it saves us from sin, the guilt of sin, the penalty of sin. I want others to see the reality of that same message that also transforms our lives from what we were in Adam, in that fallen realm of darkness and death and condemnation. I want others to see the reality that faith in Jesus changes my life. And it brings hope in a world that doesn't offer hope. There's a lot of talk about hope and change these days. Not in the sources that are promoting them. Hope is found only in faith in Jesus Christ. But I want people to see that hope in my life, that expectation, that joy in the midst of tears, in the midst of sorrow, strength in the midst of my own weakness. I want the world to see that. But sadly, the reality is that is not the desire of every Christian. And it's not the testimony of every Christian. Have you ever wondered why some Christians seem to have a very deep knowledge of the Word of God? And they seem to enjoy the things that we talk about so much. Their life is characterized by peace and joy. Now, I didn't say that their life was characterized by no problems. Never have a tragedy, illness. I didn't say that, but have you ever noticed that there are certain Christians that even in the midst of the deepest tragedies of life, there's a peace and a joy and a strength that you just, why? They shouldn't be that way because of their circumstance and their situation. They just seem to know the will of God and they benefit from it. Is it because certain people are just born to be spiritual giants and the rest of us are destined to be some part of a spiritually inferior group? You know, some people actually think that. Some people are just born and destined to be spiritual. No, every last one of us were born in sin and death. Every last one of us. Not a spiritual giant among the human race. Born from Adam's race. It's only after the new birth takes place that every child of God then has the opportunity to grow spiritually, to be strong, to enjoy the benefits of faith in Jesus Christ. But because many make excuses for themselves, well, I can't be like brother or sister so-and-so. You don't know my situation. You don't know my circumstance. Uh, to make those excuses why you can't do the will of God is to call God a liar. Saints, I don't want to do that. I know my limitations. And I know the shame of my own sinful flesh. But as a child of God, I have something that the world doesn't have. I have within me the very life of Jesus Christ that can do nothing but the will of the Father. Have you ever noticed certain Christians that at one time were on fire for the Lord? That at one time they did have a real understanding of truth, and their life was characterized by the joy and the peace that is promised to those who trust God. But then for one reason or another, those same people that at one time knew the blessings of faith, for one reason or another, sometimes it was because of hardship, they just could not get through. Just crushed them. Illness, tragedy, loss, some disappointment in life, broken relationship never realized, bitterness. But for some reason, they simply stopped walking with the Lord, and slowly but surely, you notice that in the position, their spiritual growth, where they had reached, but where they stopped loving God and serving Him and pleasing Him, they didn't stay at that point when they stopped. What happened? We all know people like that. Some of us maybe have that testimony, that experience. You begin to deteriorate, don't you? You lose ground. I have known people at one time that were in places of leadership in the church that because of one reason or another, they stopped going on with the Lord, trusting God, believing God. And I've seen them come to a place where they say some of the most blasphemous things that I have ever heard come out of the mouth of a Christian. They embrace things that at one time would have made them blush with shame. But now it's just their life. Why is it that some Christians are spiritually mature and strong and enjoy the blessings of the gospel? Why is it that some at one time were such spiritual giants but have fallen? We'll find the answer to both of those questions in Mark chapter 4. If you'll open this morning to Mark chapter 4. If you want to be a light of the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to pay attention to the principle, to the truth that Jesus is revealing in this passage. It will explain some of these other things that we have described, but it will also explain to you how you can continue to be everything God wants you to be. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. Jesus speaking here, and he says, "Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed?" The thought there in the Greek is actually a dining lounge, not a night bed. So we would say, put under a table? Do you bring a lamp to the dinner table to put it under the table? No. Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. We need to remember that, saints. Nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Are we listening this morning, saints? The Holy Spirit has something to tell us, each one of us, individually and as an assembly. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have even that which he has will be taken away from him. I want to read this verses 24 and 25 from the NIV. It goes like this. Consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Now there are some spiritual laws at work here. And these things that we described in the introduction, these types of Christians, these types of experiences, there's a spiritual law at work that determines who has an understanding of truth and who does not. And it's not based on how someone was born or to what family they were born or how rich they are or how much education they have. It's not merely a question of those who physically study more than others, though that is a big part of this. But if simply studying the Bible was enough to have spiritual knowledge, then anybody could study the Bible, especially intellectuals, and they would be spiritual. The rest of us who weren't fortunate enough to be born with great intellects, once again, we'd be left to be spiritually inferior. But what this truth tells us, what this passage tells us, is that the degree or measure that you carefully consider what you hear and what you carefully apply to your life from the Word of God is the same degree or measure that you will understand the Bible, that you will understand the will of God, and that you will benefit from its blessings. The more that you consider and apply, and this is what the taking heed to what you hear. It's not just hearing the Word of God. It's not just sitting and listening to a sermon. It's not even just sitting and studying the Bible on your own and reading it and having a devotion and then putting it down and going your way. Some of those things are elements of this, but they're not what bring understanding and blessing. That comes from taking heed, applying to your life what you hear, what you read. Another part of this principle, though, which explains the other experience that we described, is if you neglect what you have heard and you don't respond and continue to respond to what you know to be true, even what you have is going to be taken from you. You won't understand any of the deeper truths. You won't go on to be a spiritual, mature individual. And even what you've learned, if you don't apply it to your life, you're not going to stay where you are spiritually. You're going to deteriorate. You're going to go backwards. An understanding of God's Word. To know the will of God. A lot of people talk about, well, how do you know the will of God? How do you learn that, Brother Doug? Take heed to what you hear. The same measure that you apply what you've heard to your life, you'll not only understand that portion as you obey, more understanding will be given to you. And then as you apply that understanding to your life, you'll understand more and more and more. You look at the saints that you consider to be spiritual, and you understand that this is how they grew, and this is how you will grow as well. Jesus said, blessed, happy are those who hear my word and do what? Keep it. Obey it. So the law is this. The more you obey, the more you understand. Some people become discouraged because they're not spiritual giants overnight. Now, God is able to do a quick work. I have seen individuals who really begin to lay hold of the things of the Lord, and there's a very rapid spiritual growth that takes place, but the process doesn't change even in the fast works. The reality is it's a lifetime work. Continue to apply the Word of God and know more of the will of God and more of His blessings. But even when He does a quick work in an individual, the process is still the same. Take heed to what you hear. Then you'll understand it, and you'll understand more. God will give you more. Isaiah 28. If you'll turn with me to this account from the prophet Isaiah, in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 28. Here we read in the nation of Israel a time of spiritual decline. And God was speaking to them, to the nation of Israel, through the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah was bringing them back to the principles of faith, calling them to obedience to what they knew to be the will of God. And so Isaiah, like all annoying preachers that are doing their job, the same old thing over and over and over again. And their response here that we're going to read is one of sarcasm. It's one of disdain for the method of Isaiah to preach to them. And most likely the ones that are doing the speaking here are the leaders of the nation of Israel. So we're talking about the priests and the prophets. We know better. We are spiritual. The only problem was they weren't obeying the will of God. Oh, they knew a lot of things, but they weren't taking heed to them. And so we read these words in Isaiah 28:9. Whom will he teach knowledge? Speaking directly to Isaiah the prophet, but because Isaiah was God's man, they were speaking to God. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breast? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. I like the commentary of a man by the name of Barnes. He writes this to help us understand the context of this passage. He says, the prophet speaks of them as deriders of the manner in which God had spoken to them by his messengers. These leaders of Israel, they're saying, what? Does God treat us as children? Does he deal with us as we deal with infants just weaned? Perpetually repeating and inculcating the same elementary lessons, in other words, repeating over and over and over, and teaching the mere rudiments of knowledge. The expression, therefore, whom shall he teach, or whom does he teach, is an expression of contempt supposed to be spoken by the intemperate priests and prophets, the elders of the people. Who does God take us to be, they say? Does he regard us as mere children? Why are we treated as children with an endless repetition of the same elementary instruction? There are believers today that have that exact same attitude towards the Word of God. They believe themselves to be spiritual. Oh, I've heard that all my life. I know that. I know truth. They think they know the Word of God. Don't preach to me. I've had people literally tell me that, and I've had others express it in many different ways. Don't preach to me. I know what to do. Why do we have to hear the same old thing all the time? The way to knowledge, The way to understanding is here a little and there a little. Hear, obey. Take heed, apply it to your life. When you hear and read something in the Bible, do you take time to meditate on it? When you hear a sermon, when you read a devotion, when you read a passage in your personal studies, do you really take time to say, Lord, how does that apply to my life and my situation? And am I applying it? Does this word govern my life? Teach me. Do you really take time to do that? Or those of us that we were raised, I was raised in church. Many of you were, some of you weren't. But sometimes it's easy for us just to say, you know, well, I've heard that and I know that, and let's just go on. But before long, we are no longer applying what we know to be true. We're not obeying it. If that's our attitude, if we have the same attitude as Israel, we're going to go through our Christian experience in a daze. We're never really going to understand the Bible, and we're never really going to be benefiting from the power of the Word of God to change your life, and we'll be a bunch of hypocrites. And the church is full of hypocrites. I don't want to be one of them, saints, do you? I know good and well that I have all that potential because I know my flesh. But I don't want to be led, dominated by my flesh. I know I've got something in me that is powerful, more powerful than me, more powerful than my flesh, more powerful than the world, more powerful than Satan. I can be everything God wants me to be. I believe it, or I couldn't stand up here. I believe in this power of the gospel. But you have to take heed to what you hear. And then he'll give you more. Apply that, he'll give you more. Continue to take heed every day of your life till Jesus comes, or till he takes you by the way of the grave, and you will know the blessings of the gospel in your life. This principle shouldn't be so hard for us. It's one that we have in the natural. One principle in the natural, when you talk about learning natural things, math. I don't know why I always do this, because math is not my specialty, but people seem to relate to it. So you have to learn 2 plus 2 plus 2 equals what? 6, thank you. 2 plus 2 plus 2 equals 6. You have to learn that principle, write it out, do it over and over again before you can learn a principle that 2 times 3 equals 6. But you can't comprehend that principle until what? You've established and learned and applied and taken heed to the other. And that's the way it is all through school, isn't it? With whatever subject that you want to talk about, you have to build line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It's the same in the spiritual realm, only it's so much more important than natural learning. I'm glad I don't have to be a math professional to go to heaven. I'm glad I don't have to be a math professor to sit in the throne with the Lord Jesus Christ. But saints, I do need to know the will of God. I need to apply it to my life. Whenever I'm teaching someone how to use a computer, I use this line upon line method. Especially someone who has never touched a computer, I simply say, this is what I want you to do. I want you to click on this icon. They usually come to me with a project they want to do, or there's something they want to accomplish, and I said, okay, click on this icon here. But why? Why do that? Just do it. Just click on it. Oh, okay. So we click on it. And then things begin to happen that they want to happen. And they begin little by little to understand, oh, this is connected to this, and when I do this, I get this result. And little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, they begin to understand the principles. And they can do what they want to do. It's the same in the spiritual realm. Just do what God has revealed to be His will for you, and you'll understand it. And He'll give you more understanding. There are those that say, God, I want your blessing on my life. I want to know the Bible like brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. How do you do that? Take heed to what you hear. Some time back, a couple started attending church here that has since left. And they seemed very interested. And they expressed a desire to me to have God's blessing on their life. They made it clear. And there was, a genuine interest. We want God in our life. We want God's blessing. And they participated very regularly for a time. I had made the assumption that this couple was married. But I found out that they were simply living together. And that in fact, this individual, the man, was still married to another woman. Now when I asked him about the situation, and that's the problem of being a preacher. Sometimes I enjoy being ignorant, saints. Because the moment that I understand some things, I become obligated to do some things. And that's not always my choice. But I take my responsibility serious before the Lord. So I confronted this individual, and he got angry with me that I would even bring up the situation. He said the church was full of hypocrites, and why would I select him out? His sin wasn't any worse than anyone else's. Why shouldn't he expect God to bless him because he blesses other hypocrites? I'm not. This was the attitude. And saints, it's not that unusual, that mentality. I don't think this is a rarity. He knew God's call. In fact, I believe I don't know whether his father was a minister or that, but he had a church background, so he knew what the Bible said about sexual purity. But he didn't heed it. He had heard, but he didn't take heed to what he knew to be right in the will of God. And yet he still demanded God's blessing on his life. He demanded God's blessing on a relationship that God had already said, I can't bless that. Until he and others like him heeds God's instructions to flee immorality, they won't understand the will of God. And they won't benefit from it. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. If you're going to take heed to what you hear, we need to obey Jesus' instruction here in this passage in Luke 8, verse 18. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. Take heed not only what you hear, but how you hear it. It's important that we come to hear the Word of God because we understand that it is the Word of God. It has authority. Our hearts need to be prepared when we read the Bible, when we come to church. Are you prepared to say, God, whatever I need today, I trust you to minister to that need by your word through the Holy Spirit? through whatever messenger he uses, but to come to the Word of God with a proper attitude, to be careful how we hear the Word of God. There are several responses that we don't have time to look up. I'll give you the references, and if you choose to do so, you can look up the details. But I want us to know these living examples of different attitudes toward the Word of God and its authority, and the result of those different attitudes. In Jeremiah 36, we have an account of one of the kings of Judah named Jehoiakim. Jeremiah the prophet was sent to this king. God told him to write down all the prophecies concerning the sin of Israel that was going to bring the destruction of Jerusalem by the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian. Because of Israel's constant sin, because of the nation of Judah. Write those prophecies down. He said, perhaps my people might repent. Give them the opportunity to do what's right, to take heed to the word that I've spoken to them. When Jehoiakim read the scroll full of prophecy, full of God's commands to return to faith and obedience, he got mad. This is his response to the Word of God. He got angry. He got so angry, he took his knife out and he just ripped it to shreds. Then he threw it in the fire and he thought, yeah, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that word. It has no authority over me. He threw it in the fire. You know what happened to that king? All the prophecies that he thought he destroyed, he fulfilled, because he was taken off the throne and didn't have anyone else to sit on the throne. They were taken in captivity according to the Word of God. His disobedience, his anger didn't change the Word of God, but it robbed him of the blessings of that Word. Though there are those today that get angry with the Word of God. Nobody, it's my life. I can do what I want, how I want. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Until we come to the Word of God with this attitude, it has a right to correct me. I didn't say the preacher. I didn't say anyone else, but I said the Word of God. If the preacher is saying what the Word of God is saying, then you need to look past the preacher. And you need to accept the Word of God for what it is. It has the right to change our lives. It has the right to be authority in us. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine. Teaching. It has a right to teach you what to do and how to do it. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? Because God just wants to show us who's boss? No. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you come to the Word of God with that attitude? Lord, I want to know what your word says. And then because it's your word, I want to apply it to my life. If you do, you'll understand it. You may not understand it when you read it, but if you'll simply take heed, then you'll know the reality of the faithfulness of God in your life. Don't come and say, I want to know how to find the will of God, and then just go off and do your own thing. It doesn't work that way, saints. Another different response, a contrasting response in 2 Kings, the 22nd chapter, if you want to note that. Actually, it was the father of King Jehoiakim. This was King Josiah. During his time, they were doing some repairs on the temple, some remodeling, and they discovered a scroll that had been missing for some time. There was a part of the law of Moses. And when it was brought to the king and it was read to the king about the things that Israel was supposed to be doing, and he knew that they had not done for some time. He didn't get angry. He fell on his face and tore his clothes, and he cried, "We have disobeyed. We have failed God. And the consequences are real, and I know they're coming." You know what the result of that attitude was? God said to Josiah, "You're not going to experience these judgments because you have repented." And God blessed him. And he went on to change how things were done in Judah at that time, because he heeded the word that he had heard. He applied it to his life. Saints, we need to rediscover the Word of God. I'm talking about Christians. Church today is full of everything but the Word of God. Everything but. Oh, it's there somewhere. It's buried in the basement. It's hidden in the walls. We talk about it here and there. But it's not being presented where people can say, "Hey, that applies to me, to change me, to transform me, to make me a light that shines brightly in this dark world that's only getting darker." God wants us to know his blessing, saints. Personally, individually, and as an assembly. The sad reality of the history of the church is that so many times, after genuine revival and turning to God, the next generation or the next two generations, they follow more or less the same teachings, the same doctrines that stirred the hearts of their fathers and mothers, but without allowing those truths to transform them. And so little by little, the church falls back into apostasy. We need to rediscover the Word. Personally. Young, middle-aged, old. I don't care what you think you know. I don't care what I think I know. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart and say, "This is for you, Doug. This blessing is for you. This change is for you. Do you want it?" Isaiah 66. "Take heed how you hear." Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne." Isaiah chapter 66, the first two verses. "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place of my rest? For all of those things my hands has made, and all of those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." What is your attitude toward the Bible, toward the Word of God? Do you tremble? The trembling speaks of deep respect. It's not this horrifying fear that causes us to tremble. It is the highest, deepest respect for the authority of the Word of God. He is sovereign, he is the Almighty, and he's my loving Heavenly Father. It matters to me what God says. Does it matter to you? Some of God's people, their lives and their actions and even their words make it clear it really doesn't matter to them what God says. They're going to do what they want to do, say what they want to say, act how they want to act. Saints, when I come to the Word of God, I want to come with trembling. Even if that word comes with stinging correction, I want it. I may not enjoy the pain and the shame, but I want the peaceable results of the loving, wise correction of my Heavenly Father. I'm going to have to jump to the end here. Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, we'll begin reading at verse 30. I will have to admit, saints, that at different times in my ministry, different experiences, in a measure at least, I can relate to Ezekiel's experience. And I have to say that with some reservation, because Ezekiel was in a very important and difficult place, one that I've never been called to come even close to. But there is an inkling here of his experience. There is a measure of his experience that I can relate to. And it is one as one that's been called to proclaim these truths and to be a living example of them. It is one that is very difficult at times, but I have found it to be the reality of the majority of God's people. And I'm talking about those that choose to come to church. There's the other that are saved, know they're saved, and they really don't care about coming to church or serving God or His people. There's that element of the body of Christ. I understand that. But this is the bunch that likes to come to church. Ezekiel 33, verse 30. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. That sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words. But they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, surely it will come, when they will know that a prophet has been among them. Saints, don't misunderstand me. I am not standing up here this morning saying that we are all a bunch of hypocrites. But at the same time, the reality is there are those that fall in this category. And the Lord knows our hearts. And I want to carefully examine my own heart, because this sermon applies to me as much as it applies to you. I don't want to be guilty of this same attitude of simply falling in love with the form of church. I don't want to just participate in the social aspects of going to church. I want to come and hear the word of God that will transform my life, that will bring joy in the midst of sorrow, that will bring peace when life has nothing but storms to offer.
I want to take heed to what I hear. I want to take heed to what I preach, that I might be a light, that the world will know that in the midst of so much hypocrisy in the world and in the church, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I don't want to be a hearer only of the Word of God. I want to be a doer, that I might know the blessings of God. Let's sing a song in closing, Wanda. I want us to stand this morning, if you would. What page number do we have?
448.
Number 448. I'm going to offer a prayer here, and then we're going to sing number 448, first and last verses. But as I pray and as we sing, if the Lord's spoken to your heart for whatever reason, maybe even things that have nothing to do with this sermon, that's between you and the Lord. But the Holy Spirit is faithful to minister to you no matter what your need is this morning. I want you to come and find a place around these altars and cry out to the Lord and spend time in His presence. Heavenly Father, we come this morning with thanksgiving. We thank you that we have a loving Father who loves us with an everlasting love. We thank you for your patience with us, your mercy and your grace, because without your mercy and your grace, none of us would stand. We thank you for the revelation of your word that you have so graciously provided for us to study, to read, to hear, to proclaim. These words are not just philosophy, theories, but they are spirit and they are life. They will transform us, change us, strengthen us, encourage us, and prepare us for life and prepare us for death, that we might rule and reign with Jesus Christ for eternity. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit you would take your word, and that we would not leave here as we came, but we would be changed for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray.